Welcome to Cliff's Wujo. A dojo is a place in which the martial arts are practiced. A wujo is a place in which the wu-wu arts are practiced. The wu-wu arts are all things officially denied and everything unknown. Good morning. It's September 3rd, 7:43 a.m., my apologies for not having one of these earlier, but we've had a few rough weeks here. I've taken a lot of energy for other projects and just coping with the generalized crap that's going on. This Wujo is an examination of the rise in current complexities, as well as a discussion of some of the time and other issues, especially for 2013. So, let's start with a rise in the complexity. You may have noticed recently that a distinct or significant change in your consciousness has occurred, in which you are finding yourself comprehending and appreciating the complexity of the various items around you. It could be anything. You could just be stunned by the complexity of a flower, really appreciating, for instance, the natural arrangement of a flower and leaves into a very complex pattern, forming a nice particular image that sets into your mind, something that you might not have noticed before. Or you may be driving along and you will notice that you're able to plot the complexity of the various changes in the flow of traffic around you with far less problems or even conscious thought about it. It just seems to flow through your mind, and you are aware of the various ways in which that pattern will evolve in near real time ahead of your vision, so to speak. So an example might be that you would be driving in a very tightly packed commuter tranche, and just know, because your eyes happen to glance and catch in all these details and your mind formulates the conclusion, that a truck two lanes over to the right and about three or four car lengths ahead of you is going to blow a tire. And so you automatically shift over to the higher speed lane and get beyond the event before it occurs. And sure enough, in your rearview mirror, you see that the truck indeed does blow a tire. There's no real great accident or anything, but in general, the traffic is disrupted and you would have been caught in it. These kind of things people are picking up on a lot more frequently. Now, many people will experience these and not be self-analytical enough to be aware that they are experiencing them. So they'll experience them, they'll live through them, but they won't think about what has just occurred to them in relation to their overall life and their progression within it. They will be truly within the experience, float through it, and on with the rest of their pre-programmed mental activities. They may get a sense of appreciation for it. You'll find that maybe some of your friends will speak of such things, a slight different appreciation, a change in their language. They're fumbling for words, trying to express something that really can't get their minds around, but it was kind of neat, you know. It was a neat experience. It was gratifying, and boy, that was cool. And then they go on with something else, talking about the more mundane. Now, a bunch more of us who operate in the mode of watching ourselves watch universe, then in that mode, you're going to be aware of this pattern emerging. You're going to see the truck ahead of time, but when your eyes glance and know what and see what's going on, the first person's just simply going to react and go over to the left, and maybe as they're passing the truck, they'll say, oh, I think that's going to be a flat tire. The other people, on the other hand, that are really truly aware of what's going on, that are watching themselves watch universe, will see the slight bulge in the tire, appreciate that it's going to blow, know that they have about 6 seconds to shift the car in 2 seconds, and appreciate the fact that they're doing all of this in real time while it's occurring. And so they'll experience the experience, but also experience themselves having the experience. I know it sounds meaningless to some to go into this, but it is a particularly meaningful level of complexity appreciation to those that experience this. So I don't know that there's a bifurcation of the species. I don't know what the cause is of the first person who just simply goes through the event and is vaguely aware of what's happening and how cool it was and sort of feels it at an emotional level as being cool, but has no conscious appreciation as to the whys and the wherefores. That individual may be so trapped in the mundane that it is simply the mundanity filter that keeps them from that being self-analytical and self-watching. The other individual, why they should have awakened is an entirely separate discussion, one that we should all have because we're all experiencing that awakening at one degree or another. I find it rather astounding personally that I still keep getting emails and people are discovering my site for the first time. And it's like, whoa, you poor individual. Please go start somewhere else. You know, you don't want to jump down to this level of the rabbit hole right in the beginning. You know, you got to ease your way into this kind of stuff like a hot tub set at 102 degrees. You don't want to just go plunging in head first. So I really feel bad for him that, you know, running into my stuff this early. In any event, though, so getting back to the shift in the complexity, it has occurred, is occurring, will occur. Probably it's a component of the eschaton, can't be otherwise. Certainly is an element of what Terence McKenna was forecasting all those years ago for this particular time. And it's the draw, so to speak, it's the evolutionary impetus that draws us all to the end of time in terms of Terence McKenna's thinking about it. Now, the shift in complexity thinking is really interesting because I think it's also driven by the enfolding of complexity within the universe itself. And let me briefly digress to give you a small example. If, for instance, we're just a civilization A and we're cruising along and we're a rural civilization and, you know, serfdom, kowtowing to the self-appointed pedophilic priests and potentates, and we're in a real low state of complexity, and all of a sudden, boom, in comes a Swiss banker, and he's been sent back in time as his punishment for fucking us all over here in the year 2012. We discover in a month, we discover the in the end of September, let's say, we discover the way to make time travel happen. We got a working device by the first part of October, and of course we don't want to really put any humans at risk, so we decide to ship bankers back as our first test. And so we're not going to send them to the future because who knows what would happen then, but we know we can send them to the past, and yeah, they'll screw everything up, but it's already happened, so hey, that's why we got here in the first place. So we start shooting bankers back through our time travel device, and they go popping into the past. And there you are in, let's say, the 800s in rural England, and there's a giant little bloop noise over your head, and this banker comes, and, you know, he's like 6 or 8 feet up in the air because the building he was shot at is higher in our position in space is different relative to where Earth was at that time. And so he falls onto the ground and with a great oof, and he's lying there, and you wander on over, and it's like, oi, this is odd. Well, but your level of complexity has hugely increased. Now, you have methods in your mind. You think maybe he's a fairy or he's come out of a fairy ring or something like that. So you have this entire method of within your worldview for coping with this. But the complexity of the intrusion of that knowledge, the personality, should it survive, but even if the banker does not survive the test, and we don't know that they would, just merely the body there and the, you know, the strange shoes and the et cetera, et cetera. False teeth, who knows, prosthetics, you know, maybe the banker's got fake butt bits. And so this is all quite odd, and it raises the complexity and causes new forms of thinking that would not have otherwise, quote, naturally occurred. Now, at that point, those levels of thinking, the mere asking of questions, when you're burning the body of the banker, why his butt sizzles that way, and what is that funny smell, and why did those two butt cheeks explode? Those questions that you raise cause new pathways to occur in your brain. They have literally, factually, actually altered who you are. Now, at a vibrational level, it doesn't really work that way, but we won't go there. Let's just stay with the common understanding of biology and neurons and all of that kind of thing, right? And so you've got a neural pathway that, you know, consists of get up in the morning, you know, slug down something that approximates a yeast gruel, you know, eat some something that we would not even consider rejects for fruit, if you were smart, and you go on out and you toil for a few hours. Now, the whole of your day is spent pondering, you know, not stepping into dung as you're behind the animals while you're plowing, that kind of thing. You know, the range of your thought patterns are relatively limited, and they grow slowly over time because you're just not exposed to that new stuff. You might go 5 years and have no significant change in the nature of your environment at all. Unlike our existence now, where you cannot go 2 seconds without encountering the new. You, in fact, actually have to deliberately isolate and deny yourself access to media, etc., in order to shut down the shock of the new. So, the issue of the complexity, you can see how the complexity of thinking would go up instantly. Now, it wouldn't be meaningful. I grant you that the poor bastard that had to burn the banker's body and watch the butt sizzle and pop and all of that, okay, so he's going to be affected, and maybe he talks to his kids, and maybe the local village discusses burning, you know, this guy and his blistery butt thing for, you know, maybe a generation, maybe 2 generations, and then it sort of dies out. Now, if we send back a lot of bankers, well, that'll cause some real problems. So we've got to be careful about that. However, the level of the impact of the complexity is not self-sustaining under those circumstances where we're shooting bankers back and we're actually intruding complexity into a far less complex past. Now let's zip forward to where we are at the moment. We're in an area where we've got complexity that is emerging on a vast scale. It's not even exponential. It's something so far beyond exponential that we don't know what it is. This new whatever, this new greater than complexity is an emergence. In my way of thinking, it's the actual folding or infolding of vibrations upon themselves, so that complexity doesn't increase simply by an extra few pulses a second. It increases by the sum total of pulses that have occurred to that point. In essence, you're doubling your complexity every time you increase it. And it's going to get quite complex. Anyway, so here's the thing. The complexity is occurring all the time now. It's increasing at a steady rate, if somewhat unpredictable. But the examination of the current level of complexity, and you can look at the abstractions of the political system, you can look at the abstractions of the global financial system that is emerging. We won't call it an economy, it's a global financial system. We can look at the global military system that's evolving. All of these global things that are occurring are at a level that is, while there is some design going on from the globalists, the evil cabalists out there, nonetheless, there are organic movements within humanity pushing all of these things as complex systems to evolve on their own. Now, this is occurring because of the total number of people we have on the planet. It's also occurring because of the interconnectedness of all of the people. And it's there's this old idea in the Hindu world of a thing called Indra's net. And in Indra's net, Indra's this demigod or god figure, and Indra's pretty cool, and Indra's got this net in which it's composed of strings, and at each join there is a pearl. Now, each pearl within Indra's net, get this, I mean, it was described thousands of years ago, Each pearl can see every other pearl within Indra's net, no matter how far the physical separation between them. And Indra's net was something that you could, cast metaphorically across whole galaxies, that kind of thing. So obviously it was a discussion or a description of a complex interconnected network that we could say replicates what we have now with the internet. Now, the level of complexity that they were thinking of back then was expressed in the ideas of Indra's net. They couldn't talk about routers, nodes, electric distribution, and so on, and so they cast this thinking back then. But how did that thought intrude on them thousands of years ago? Had there been in existence some form of Indra's net prior to the collapse of civilization, which was carried over in the Hindu myths, or was there an intrusion of somebody who came back in time and had an iPad or something that was still connected in real time to our internet? That would account for it, and you would be able to say, they would say, internet, Indra's net. Anyway, so here we are. We're at a point where our complexity is increasing. I think that Terence McKenna was correct. And I think that the reason that this is important, this idea of a folding of complexity on top of itself and the increase becoming greater than exponential, is that complex systems have some really cool stuff to offer us. One of the things that they have is the ability, since all systems I've ever seen in nature are this way, I'm going to project this on all systems, is that you reach a certain level of complexity in your systems and they lean towards becoming self-correcting or healing. Now, we don't see that in the abstractions of, say, the economic world or our political world, because those are abstractions bounded by artificial constructs that are the effect of egos that we can call laws or rules or policies or whatever. But in the real world, in the real cosmology that we inhabit, the materium, these systems of leaf structure being bombarded with gamma rays causing a problem or a node or a gnarl, it becomes self-correcting over time as the plant continues on. It doesn't allow that to corrupt the system, these disruptions. So at one level, complex systems tend to become self-healing. They become isolating. They use various different strategies for this. But this is cool, because self-healing systems and the shift into complexity, as well as the way of thinking in complexity, allows us a way out. That is to say that are the events that are now sweeping us towards the eschaton, which will occur in December, are going to potentially entrap humanity. But if we can shift enough of humanity into complexity thinking, we have the option of being able to guide ourselves through the complexity wave that's at this point threatening to overwhelm us. Sort of makes sense? If we get enough people that can think and hold in their mind the various different strategies required to do time travel, and imagine what that entails, all of the political and physical point of view kind of issues that you're going to have relative to knowing what's occurring in what era, it gets really complex when you think about it. You can't just send back Joe Sixpack, who happens to be in the army, or actually you couldn't even really send back your banker, because the issue of sending back a person in time or forward, you've got to send back somebody who's an accurate observer, but whose mind is also capable of separating what has to be done can be done effectively in the various times strata. So if you're in time A, which is your point of origin, you can be as free with your actions as you want because they are unfettered by, in your mind, any of the constraints of history. But if we send you back in time, even a few years, say 100 years, you've got to be very careful about what you do, because theoretically anyway, your actions could disrupt your total world in your original point of origin. And so it's an issue of being able to think in a multiple temporal complexity, which gets really complex. So anyway, here's where we're at. World's going to hell. Our solar system has shifted. We've got a new view of the solar system. We're not heliocentric. Because we're not heliocentric, this helical model, the spiral model, which actually differentiates and gives us a better enunciation point, but the spiral model of the solar system allows us to think about what's occurring to us in a different way. And so we're not bound by the dichotomy, the duality of global warming being man-made or not. We don't have to fall into this binary debate, because we know the system is ever so much more complex than that, and the solutions and the causes are ever so much more complex. Anybody trying to tell you anymore that duality is expressing itself as an A or B proposition is just basically full of shit. They just do not know. They don't grasp. Duality is now expressing itself as opposing complex systems. So it's, in essence, the opposition of solid matter versus dark matter. The complexity of all of solid matter and the complexity of all of dark matter are quite staggering. And so to encapsulate it as, you know, good versus evil is really limiting in terms of your thinking. And here's why. If you start thinking about systems in a much more complex view, you avoid the problems that, let's just say, the powers that be are going to, into the traps. You're going to avoid the traps that the powers that be are going to engineer for you. Now, the powers that be have an appreciation of some of the complexity of the planet, and they have done everything they can to keep you so dumb, so stupefied on chemicals, that you will not appreciate this and will not be able to grow your thinking, because the more stupid you are, the easier you are to control. The more polluted you are, the easier you are to control, and that's their whole game, is the control. So they're going to engineer a whole lot of different traps, and a complex person, complex thinking individual, is going to see these as really actually very stupid, very blatant, and not participate in them. Lots of individuals that are going to be even too they're so far into the abstraction that is presented, the simple abstraction that is presented as the point of view of our system, as your reality, the TV version of reality. There are so many people that are encapsulated in that, that are trapped by it, that when the system starts, as complex systems do, exhibiting disruptive behavior, they're going to be in a disrupted state, and they're going to come on out, and they're going to fall into these all these traps that the powers that be are setting up. And they're setting them up right now. We call them FEMA camps. We call them, you know, hiring bus drivers to get people to FEMA camps. We call them railroad lines to FEMA camps. We call them protest permits that get you a route for your protest, so that they can just route you right into the train and sweep you into their FEMA camp. And you're going to be so out of it that you think this is the appropriate way to behave, which is, you know, you're upset about the lack of food and, you know, the local Walmart near you having nothing to eat. And so you go out and you protest and you join a legal authorized protest because you're not you don't want to be considered to be terroristic or whatever. But it doesn't matter, because your government is going to route you into a FEMA camp. And this is their goal, because you were stupid enough to fall into their trap, because you had, in essence, actually been living in their trap this whole time. And so there's a lot of people that are going to go through that. Now, counterintuitively, especially for the powers that be, although they knew it was arising and actually have been taking measures to attempt to thwart it, there is what we can think of as the awakening, or the generalized eyes opening of a lot of the population, which gets us to people listening to my crap or going to my site, and David Icke and everybody. So we get to this point where those individuals that are able to conceive of the increase in the complexity and sort of float along with the complexity are going to, basically what I'm describing is a stratification of what we can think of as civilization, and into three layers. The people that have fallen for the powers that be trap and live within their chemical-induced stupor of denial, and are doing all these bad things to themselves. Then there's the people that are in the intervening group in the middle that are experiencing it, and sort of vaguely aware that they are experiencing it without any conscious awareness that they are. Then there's the rest of us, which are probably a relatively small minority, but we're growing, and that's actually very encouraging, of people that are watching themselves, watch themselves, watch universe. And in doing so, a lot of us are sitting around and we're gnawing on what we're seeing and noodling on it and saying, okay, this is some pretty tasty thought. What's going on here? Now, in terms of the way out, okay, here's the issue. The reality of remote viewing, I can establish that, but to my own mind, I don't know that I could satisfy it to anybody else's without having to provide all kinds of detail that would get us lost into a discussion of that, because I would have to have drawings and this kind of thing. But the fact that remote viewers can accurately describe something in the now without even knowing it, just by being given a target of a random number or a, you know, an object, you know, your target is Apple, and you know, or your target is 13948. That kind of thing. And so, and then you, later on, you transpose their remote viewing to the actual target you're after. And just because this is doable and because they can get the accuracy that they can get with never ever being near the target, not knowing what it is, any of that kind of stuff, really validates the process as a whole. Now, what it does not validate is the application of remote viewing to the future. But my work kinda does, because in essence, I'm gleaning all of the those thoughts out of the middle band of individuals in our strata, those people whose linguistics are disturbed by the experience of seeing the tire nearly explode and being able to get ahead of the traffic pattern without really understanding what it was that drove them there, and yet they're reaching and grabbing and trying to understand, and so it affects their language hunt. Now, you'll note, by the way, the powers that be don't like this. They don't want you to have the ability to express this, and so they would rather you text. They would rather you reduce language down to little and, you know, and be as stupid as they want you to be, and you know, grunt to them and bow the knee and touch the forelock kind of thing in acknowledgement of their order, and you go off and do their bidding. And so they have deliberately, since probably about 1890s, somewhere in the 1890s, there was this intellectual explosion and a long-running debate in the United States about whether or not we needed a central bank and whether we needed a central bank currency, and the curious ties between central bank and jewelry. And it led to a whole big series of discussions that actually brought up the issues of racial hatreds and so on, under the title of the Jewish question, that was debated in the 1890s in both the New York Times and one other major New York newspaper. In any event, it went on for years, this discussion of op-ed pieces, basically. However, if you go back and read these very articulate arguments on all sides of these issues, both pro and con against the central bank authority, because for many people the West out here was suffering the lack of capital and was desperate for some kind of an infusion. This is just, you know, after the using up, so to speak, and the infusion of all of the gold from the gold rushes and the Alaska gold rush period and that infusion. So there was just this little lag time, and it was also following the economic collapse that was induced by the private banks in the Louisiana period of the in the 1860s through the 1890s. Now, in any event, the returning back to the subject there. In our work, we suck up the vague linguistic changes that are going on in that middle group, in that middle strata, that are not expressing their watching universe consciously. And in a sense, in a vague kind of a way, it's analogous to remote viewing. So I didn't have any issues with remote viewing per se. Now, and we are applying our work to the future, so I don't really have too much in the way of an issue of remote viewing for the future. Now, where I do have issues is this idea of multiple timelines and the multiple universe theory that's expressed, where, you know, you've got a, I'm sitting here in a one universe with a Windex that's blue, and in another universe Windex is green, or it's chartreuse, or, you know, yellow or something in its color. And I don't go there in terms of my description of materium for a lot of different reasons that are not pertinent to this discussion. You'll see a lot of people that are saying that remote viewing is all about this timeline discussion and which timeline we are on. I find that to be spurious, because the issue is not that. And the farsight.org experiment, in my view, does not prove multiple timelines. They may have, Courtney may have intended to do that, but it there are more explanations that fit, that allow the experiment to exist as it does now, that do not involve multiple timelines, and that can be laid out. And in fact, what I think it's actually proven is the applicability of remote viewing to the future. And we'll see this by June 1 of next year. So that brings us back to complex thinking and the way out. Now, here's the deal. The more complex, the more you have an ability to appreciate the complexity of systems and the interaction of complex systems and their behavior, the more appropriate your choices will be as we face what is the first in a series of disruptive behavior episodes from the complex system that is the materium. We can leave aside such issues as UFOs, we can leave aside time rifts, any of that, and just look at the projections that we have to deal with at the physical level within the complex system that is the Earth, and from the farsight.org. Now, also understand that my validation studies, which were done independent of that and later, but keyed off of that farsight.org study, also validate a disrupted planet. And they do so in a way that is harmonious and within the way of the systems that are the oceans and the air and so on. As an example, if we have a shift in the Antarctic ice, and a giant mass of ice leaves Antarctica, while we will have tsunamis that will be devastating up here all the way into Alaska, we will not actually see a water level rise for a number of years, even though the water level has risen local to the ice mass in Antarctica. And it's because the nature of the ocean is so big. So say that you had something that was half the size of Antarctica and a mile deep, just to give us something to think about. This is a huge mass. This would be like something a little bit bigger than Florida, okay? Florida up into, maybe as far as South Carolina and over a ways towards Louisiana, a big chunk of the U.S. Or we could say that it represents, a significant third or thereabouts of Australia. And you've got that amount of ice, and it decides it's going to slide off of Antarctica. Well, it's not going to happen all in a day. It's big. It's going to take a while. And so it might take easily 6 weeks for all of it to actually get into the ocean. Even though the first part of the ocean creates the tsunami, as it hits, even though the first part of it hitting the ocean creates the tsunami, it will continue to generate a wave force for the duration of the time it takes to slide off. So we might get waves that would continue to grow and grow and grow and grow in intensity around the planet for a number of weeks. And so you see, it becomes a very complex interaction that we're going to go through. Now, this would cause potentially the disruption that has been described in the Southern Hemisphere by the farsight.org. It would also fit with what we've got with the validation studies up here, because the validation studies that were done in my area, because I was greedy, I want to know what's going to happen here, do not show a large amount of water rushing in at the same time that the event. So by June 1, up here, we don't have water issues. We've got a lot of issues, and we've got our area of the planet pretty well disrupted. Devastating earthquakes, everybody should really get ready for this. And giant windstorms that are very violent, horrific rains, as well as volcanic debris, it looks like, volcanic smoke and so on. We have those kind of issues up here, which are within the parameters of, say, an ice shift in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, because of the timing that we've done within our validation studies, we do not know if, say, by August of 2013, the first of the flooding issues reached the northern hemisphere in the Puget Sound area, because our studies cut off, again, like the Farsight, they cut off within that June 1 period. All I was interested in was validating through phase 1, and thereafter, details were rather unimportant. Now, it's also unimportant as to what causes the event relative to what I have to go through up here, along with everybody else in the Western Hemisphere of North America. And well, all of Northern Hemisphere, period. But I mean specifically in our area, we probably will never ever discover what it was that caused it, because the indications are within that immediate period of time from the event. Say the event occurs in March, April, or May of next year. Well, by June, electricity in the infrastructure is gone, and there is no indication within our validation study of it coming back anytime soon. So I may then thereafter spend the rest of my life in a non-electrically interconnected world and never ever discover what it was that was in phase one. Now, that does not prevent me from anticipating phase two and phase three of these earth changes and shifts that we're going to be going through as part of the shift of the spiral nature of the planets following the sun. So those levels of complexity are within my mind as I'm examining what we have to go through by June 1 of next year. Now, the level of complexities involved here, the more complex your ability to think, the less dull you are, the more you can anticipate both the self-healing, but also the disruptive behavior of systems, and take actions accordingly. In other words, if your mind is simple in its construction and dulled down by the powers that be, that you cannot conceive of the idea that the conspiracy theorists are correct, then you will never allow yourself the idea that there may be a major disruption in the coastal environment, and thus you will die. When you happen to be on vacation and on the beach, and it'll just come and get you. And there will be lots of people this way. Apparently, this is what the powers that be desire. This is what her satanic majesty and all of her, progeny and hangers-on and sycophants and minions and other guys want to have happen. This 1% group really doesn't like us a lot. And they're going to do everything they can to keep us stupid while this stuff occurs. Now, universe has other ideas. It's in working its butt off, shaking people up, slapping them upside the head, saying, hey, guys, we're in a complex systems. TV land is not real. Wake up, get out, start thinking about things, and look at how you were being led down a particular path. Now, there are other ways that are offered, other way outs that are offered by complex system thinking. And so let's examine some of the immediate future that we've got ahead of us here in the United States, and likely within the Northern Hemisphere, excepting Russia, probably, although Russia's could also be impacted. We're going to be hit by huge food shortages. We're going to be hit by food shortages in the United States in a particular way, which is that our corn crop is going to crash, and so people won't be able to get their addictive high fructose corn syrup, which is non-nutritive and is not good stuff. But it's nonetheless going to have a ripple effect on all of our foods throughout the entire structure of our of the Northern Hemisphere and food distribution, less so in the Southern Hemisphere. Now, the complex system that is the ruling elite, that powers that be, and knows that there's upcoming food shortages, food price hikes globally. They know we're going to cross a threshold here in the United States where we'll be at about 44% of the lower middle class income required to cover food. And that is a threshold at which point people start rebelling, because you don't have enough money left over for anything else. Realistically, you can cover food and rent, and that's it. And pretty soon you get to the point where you can't even cover necessary stuff to get to work, and it starts snowballing. We're there now for a lot of people. We're going to be there real quick for a larger chunk of the middle class as the dollar goes through this hyperinflationary period over these next few months. So you'll see things like gold and silver go very, very high in their value. relative to dollars. This will not be a good thing because it is also going to be, as I've always maintained, coincident with, temporally linked with, a crash in the food system, food riots, etc., etc. So, how does somebody who thinks in things, thinks about things in a complex way look at the situation? Well, the first thing that that person might do is they would say, well, if our food sources are impacted, let's look for new food sources. And so they might, as an individual, start forming groups that are into gleaning, that are looking for new plant sources of food, that are looking to adapt and adopt diets relative to the changes of the food supplies around us. Bear in mind now, you're in the North American hemisphere, all you carnivores are flush with beef. But because they're slaughtering the herds because of the drought. They'll keep doing this as long as the drought continues. My data shows the drought's not going to break in any meaningful, the heat won't break in any meaningful fashion until probably past Thanksgiving. I mean, I haven't looked at the data recently. We are running some of that. I'll get to that at the end of this. But I wouldn't expect the heat to really be abated for a long time. And so the drought's going to continue. They'll continue to slaughter the herds. There won't be a rebuild period because of what we're going to go through next year. And so in the complexity of the emerging systems, emerging world, the systems we have for food support are going through a major disruptive behavior shift. Those systems can be self-healing. And by that I mean, so I'm a vegetarian and I see that there are coming food crises, and I decide to lessen my impact on the system as a whole by trying to produce as much of my own food as possible and or doing as much gleaning as possible from sources that it would otherwise be wasted relative to the human population, although they might be arguably useful by wild animals, such as, you know, wild berries and micro greens and grains and stuff. There's all kinds of grains all around us in the form of seeds that we just don't really recognize as grain crops and we don't use, but they're quite nutritious and edible. And so, see, I could remove myself as an impact on the system and thus reduce its a burden on it, freeing up those resources within this food system, which I can't stand all that crap anyway, for some poor benighted soul that does want to eat it, so and probably does need it. And so, as a complex systems thinker, I go ahead and I do that. Then further, I start instructing others on, you know, if you want to know, I'm not, you know, I'm trying to push agenda or anything. I'm just simply saying that if you want to know, here's how you go and, you know, find microgreens. And here's how you can live off of various different kinds of grasses. And here's how to avoid, for instance, the ingestion of parasites when you're dealing with gleaned material. All these different things that you need to think about it while you're doing all of this. And you start teaching this out, and so those people that are also in the conscious mind, self-aware, watching themselves, watch universe, they pick up on this and they start teaching themselves these other techniques as well. Now, this starts shifting the burden away from the systems. It basically is the within the metaphor of opting out or off the grid. For those individuals that do it, it also does shift some of the resource pull or demand on the system. I don't know how noticeable, but it in the end, though, for the self-healing components of the complex system that is reality, those individuals that adopt this attitude going through the food crises of 2012 will be very prepared for the non-existence of the just-in-time food systems in 2013. Because bear in mind what the Farsight.org study implies, that there's going to be an event that will be so serious that there will not be electricity. If there's no electricity, there's no trucks on the road, there's no food in any stores, likely there won't be many of the buildings that house the food warehousing, you know, the Walmarts, etc., simply due to earthquakes and the destruction that we've got going on. And so under these circumstances, those individuals that are able to educate themselves now to do such things as gleaning, alter their diet, you know, remove their or reduce their level of internal pollutants, free up their minds, and then go on out and start just being an available resource. You don't have to shove it down people's throats. If universe doesn't want them to wake up, it's probably a reason. Probably is a reason they want them to die over this next period of time, because I don't see any other way out for the majority of the individuals that are so polluted that they're trapped into the simple duality that the, you know, Republican versus Democrat, that kind of thing, Crips versus Bloods, that the powers that be want you to keep thinking in. So now, the system is self-healing because it, on one level, an individual opting out doesn't have a much of a... an impact, but an individual opting out in a self-conscious way in which they promulgate that idea does have an impact, and we get to the ultimately to the idea of adopting entirely new points of view, and so thus the ideas spread and alter the systems itself. If you get enough people opting out of the system collapses to alter itself to meet their needs rather than try and force them to meet its needs. And, you know, the system wants to survive, just like government with their weird-ass continuity of government. It's like, okay, why do we want to have government continue if the population is dead, you know? Who are they going to govern themselves? I heard this great, this is in a, you know, same vein, I heard this great Hindu speaker once, and he said, he has this little saying, and he said, you know, there's only one, let me see if I can get this right, there's only one religion... there's only one God, consciousness, there's only one religion, humanity, and there's only one prayer, which is breath. And when he was questioned about, well, what do you mean there's only one religion, humanity? And he said, well, think about it. He said, it doesn't matter the flavor, the words you apply to the whole idea of religion and all of that. He says, humanity is the religion because God's going to do what? Come on down and preach to turtles? Going to insist that turtles follow a moral code? So, and basically, you know, I mean, his viewpoint is theistically bound, but nonetheless rather valid. And so, anyway, we get back to this this idea that in the event we've got, after the event, we've got the entirely new systems arising. Now, I think that we're at that point in complexity shift that this time, unlike previous cycles that we've been through, I think enough humans are going to survive that we're going to be able to have the potential, stand on the precipice, and be able to see a future in which we might triumph. That is to say that humanity may, those that survive, there may be enough of us that are awake that we are suddenly in the majority. There may be enough of us that are awake and prepared to deal with things that we may be able to sit down and discuss as intelligent co-inhabitants of Materium, issues of mutual concern with non-terrestrial humans that may also be here, and non-human extraterrestrials that may also be here, and get things straight in a more cohesive and clear fashion without living in the denial of the artificial duality of, you know, black and white, Crips and Bloods, Republicans and Democrats, et cetera, et cetera. Now, here's some interesting things for you. We're gonna wind this up. We've been going way too long. I've wasted way too much of your time with this stuff. But there's some interesting insights that come out of this thinking about complexity. So let's say that Cliff's right here, okay? Let's say that he thinks that complexity is rising and that universe wants a large number of awake and aware people to survive the upcoming events that will occur over these next 8 months, phase one. Okay, what would be a sign of that? If universe actually wanted that to occur, then it must be doing things now to have it occur in the future. And so we should be able to go on out and see the signs and portents the way that the shaman would do, right? And so here's the thing. I'm seeing them all around. And I'm going to give you guys an example that will just blow you away. Imagine the world that will exist after the event. There won't be manufacturing. There won't be a whole lot of creating of or delivery of goods. What will there be? Well, there'll be some number of people in desperate need of all resources, food, everything. There will also be, according to universe, some large number of awake and aware people that are going to survive this thing, and they're doing so now by sharpening their minds and tooling up, so to speak, their complex system thinking and their brain matter. How do I know this? Because they're exhibiting these changes in their thinking now in concrete ways that are applicable to the future that we'll be finding ourselves in next June, if the remote viewing thing is applicable to the future and it's correct. We always need to have that if, because we don't know for sure until it occurs. But one of the things I postulated was that if large numbers of, if the universe wants large numbers of awake and aware humans to exist after the event, it will start changing them now to get them ready. It will have them thinking about things in different ways, doing things in different ways. So you're going to see, I think CrossFit actually, bizarrely, is an outgrowth of the thinking that universe is promulgating to get us ready for what we've got to go through. This ability to get yourself so fit, so extremely fit. You know, I don't like CrossFit because any exercise regimen that rewards you in a mob fashion for exercising so much that you puke is non-sustainable. All right, I mean, I've been doing martial arts for 30 years, and I'm an old guy. Guys, you want to do your exercise in such a way that you end up as I am, old. You know, you don't want to do them so fierce that you destroy your body systems in the process. You need to find that plateau and stick with it year after year after year after year. The idea is to be able to maintain the strain evenly to perfect the body as you go forward. You want to read something that's really cool? Read Bruce Lee's How to Express the Human Body, his thoughts on that. Anyway, so let's get back to our clue. Here's our clue from universe, and you can go and look at it. In the world in which we will inhabit next year, there's going to be tons of trash. There's going to be so much debris everywhere from our current society that forms the resource base for those that come after. Because bear in mind, they don't have just-in-time shopping or anything, so they're going to have to build up everything from trash. So here's what I want you to do. If you want to see the future in nascent future now, watch it evolve now, you can see it happening on YouTube. And I'll give you a hint. There's a whole new category, or there's a whole category of YouTubes, not new, but there's a whole category of people out there in YouTube that are doing things with trash, that are becoming experts at converting trash into extremely useful devices. So go and look up on YouTube alcohol stoves, or petal stoves, P-E-T-A-L stoves, or biogas stoves, and you'll see people turning trash into the most marvelous devices. Now, they think they're doing it for, you know, camping purposes. Some of these guys don't go camping. They're just driven to convert trash into highly useful devices. The stoves are just the tip of the iceberg. You wouldn't believe what people are converting old cans and pop bottles and all this stuff into. And why? Maybe universe is going to say, I'm going to present you with a world filled with such. You better learn to use it. So another place you can go to is zenstoves.net, and you'll see that there's a burgeoning, or not burgeoning, but certainly a growing and now firmly established move within the human population globally to learn to do things highly efficiently with fewer and fewer materials. This impetus is part of the complexity folding itself on universe. We'll soon get to the point where, as they say, we have existed so long, doing so much with so little, we will be qualified to do everything and anything with nothing. And really, I mean, it's humorous. It's you see it on signatures out there, but the statement is pretty correct. As we move forward in terms of our ability to understand and deal with complex systems, we will do just that. We'll raise our level of efficiency of thinking such that it will manifest itself in the efficiency of our ability to use items intrinsically at levels that we cannot even consider now. So in other words, you know, it's like burning that alcohol molecule six different times before you let it go. And that's where we're headed. This is all, again, an emergence of the complexity of thinking. Now, the next a couple of things here real quick. We're doing a run. We don't have a target yet because I've got to integrate all kinds of new algorithms. I'd only done them at a test level. The test worked out on this May 21st report that we released, so we will do another one. These algorithms will take me a long time to get in into the system. We're targeting for sometime about mid-November. Igor has got the Citrix array and the cleaned out and scrubbed up and the servers set up again. We're paying for our bandwidth now, thanks to the generous donations that people have set in. So we've got the run set up. We're going to be trying to beat the November deadline. I'd love to be able to bring it in the first or in the middle of October. I just don't know that I can do that, though. There's just a ton of work, and we've got all kinds of stuff going on here relative to the health of the individuals that I care for. I'm healthy myself. I don't worry about that. Actually, I've gotten into kettlebells recently, and those are really cool. Again, complexity of thinking. The kettlebells and dynamic exercise approach is just so much more effective than what we used to have in the past. We're going to have a food revolution, I bet. You don't want to participate, guys. You don't want to get into the riots. You don't wish to fall into that part of the duality expression the powers that be are setting up. It's a trap. So opt out. You know, get off the grid in a serious way and don't riot. Don't participate. You won't be able to stop many people from doing so. They will do so to their doom. But if you can get yourself out, then you can stand out as an example to others that you may be able to pull some others out of the system as well. Anyway, go look up alcohol stoves. We've got another run coming. Sorry about taking up nearly an hour of your time. Next one up is going to be about the emergence of Aiki, which is not the flow of Aiki, or not the flow of Ki. Aiki itself is an entirely, well, it's a rise in complexity. It's like the Ki is folding in on itself and a new creature is emerging, a new technique or something. Good luck. We've got the first of the big economic scandals and crises emerging now this next week past the Memorial holiday here in the U.S. And so for the first 2 weeks in September, we're going to have ourselves a pretty good upset brouhaha in the financial world, if you care about that kind of stuff. I don't. Time to get out of it all. And money has lost its meaning in the greater complexity of things. It's a tool that is going to fade away. Bye. Have another one in a bit.